say, I don't believe. Y'all got me messed up. I say, I don't believe. He brought me this far. I mean, he could have left me alone a long time ago. But he brought me this far. Colossians 3:1. Why are you getting that? Given unto God the Father, Jesus his Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us, to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Harris Sylvester Stinger, Sister Stinger, our first and only lady, to all of our officials here, our deacon, our deaconess, trustees, to this choir, to our musicians, amen, to each of you God's children, amen, to my lovely wife who approaches the age of, I'm going to put it out there, 55 today, amen, she's been. Double nickel, that's what we call it, double nickel. She hit that number and brought all these people in, and we've been celebrating. If she expects 56 to be stretched out like this, she can forget about all that. But we have had a blast and continue to have a blast all week with all the family who has come in so far to be with her for this celebration. Thank you. God bless you. All of our visitors, so glad to have you here. Just each of you God's children, it's good to be with you on today. There is no mistaking us being here together on today. It was by God's design. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm not sure exactly what it is for me at this point, but I will tell you, I'm open, and may I encourage you to be open likewise. Colossians 3:1 reads thusly, if ye then be risen, when I'm reading from the King James Version, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, I thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. I thank you, Lord, for sitting high and looking low.
Yes, sir.
I thank you for having us on your mind. I thank you for allowing us to be together on this day and then to be standing here as a messenger, standing in need of your word. You said in your word you would send forth your word into the earth, it would not return to you void. As you give us your word, Lord, open up my eyes and our eyes that we can see, our hearts that we can hear, and our minds that we can understand. Hide me, Lord, so deep within the crevices of your cross or behind it, that none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
and the church responded by saying, amen, amen. Amen. Before
amen.
You shake your seat, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Look up.
Look up.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Look up.
Look up.
Grab yourself in the chest. Say, self,
look up.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm a country boy. Some of y'all probably know that then. And I grew up mowing lawns and working in the cotton field. Y'all probably surprised by that part of it. But I used to mow lawns and mow in the cemetery. And I took pride in my work. And I like to, you know, hit a line and go a straight line. You know, I like to look back and be able to look forward and see that I worked that out pretty nicely, a nice little straight line. And what we would do when I was growing up, we'd grab it and we'd hit that first line, get it straight. And then everything else would come off that first line. So you just kind of look it down at that line. But I learned as I got a little bit older, you know, sometimes you get distracted if you're looking down at the line. Because, see, then that if the line is crooked, you fall on the crooked line.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you sometimes look back and realize, wait a minute, that's not as straight.
Yeah.
I learned as I got older, if you would just fix your eyes on your destination
Come on.
Just walk towards your destination, it's a straight line.
Yeah.
Anybody more like I know? And you never miss it like that, because what happens is you take your eye off the unnecessary and focus on the necessary. All the other stuff that's going on, all the distraction, I hit a bump on the world on the way to work, on the way to church today, and I almost knocked my tire. I know I hit the rim, shook everybody up in the car. Those things will throw you off track if you're not focused on the right thing. What am I saying? I'm analogizing to let you know that in life, if you're not focused on the prize, if you're not looking in the right direction, you could get the wrong results. Some of us are distracted now because we're looking around at what's going on in our world. And I will tell you, it's a whole lot of nonsense going on now. It's a whole lot of folks surprised, myself included, on where we are in America today. And you can get sidetracked and distracted and lose sight of who's actually in control if you're not careful. If you look around too much, look down too much, look side to side too much, if you listen too much stuff, you ever watch television and got upset? Y'all probably going to watch TV today and watch those games and get upset before that game is over. Because Dallas going to win, I'm just saying. Maybe they will. I don't know. That was not a prophetic claim. I was just trying to check the moods of the church. But somebody going to be upset because of what's going on the TV.
Yeah.
Some of us listen to the radio and get upset. What's going on the radio? What we hear, we get upset by what people are saying around us because our focus is in the wrong place.
Amen.
I come today to encourage you, church, to look up. We see things differently. We get different responses, partly because we have different experiences. We have different life lessons. We have different lessons, whether we have different upbringing, home training. I remember I was in Germany and Kai. Y'all don't know Kai, but my sons, they know Kai. Kai was his mom was German and his dad was American. But Kai was a little kid and he was the same age. What's your age, RJ? Who was your Tyler's or RJ's age? And they were young at the time, and we were at a skating rink, actually roller. They were doing roller rink, and they were rolling. And Kai came over, couldn't get his shoes off or something, and Kai just cussed his mama. Uh-huh. And I was sitting there, and Kai caught me off guard a little bit because I almost grabbed him, and I realized he wasn't mine. Kai was rolling. He grew up differently, and he kept cussing. He had that S word down to a sign. You know, and he was talking to her about it, and I'm like, you know, I wasn't used to that in my house, so I almost grabbed my son and beat him so he wouldn't get any idea. We see things. They had no problem in Kai's household. But in my household, we see things because of our vision. Some of us have 20/20, some 20/30, some less than that. Our proximity, sometimes we are challenged because some of us are nearsighted, some are farsighted, some short-sighted, and some narrow-minded. You can tell me at a certain distance what's written on the wall, and you may be accurate and correct, but there are times when I just can't see it. Did you understand what I'm saying? Because my physical limitation, I just can't see it. Now, I was joking with them last night about a program I actually put together, and I put the words on the program so small, when they asked me to get up and read it, I was surprised by the fact that I was supposed to read it, and I couldn't see the words I had written. I wrote the words, and I had to try to read the words I wrote. I looked very unintelligent. Because I was trying to put my memory with what was on the paper, because I sure couldn't see it. So sometimes, even when we know something is right, we're trying to communicate it, the person who we're trying to communicate just does not have the capacity or ability to connect because they just can't see it. Amen. I think I got a vision there. Some of you sitting right now on a vision God has given only you. And you're trying to get upset and mad at other folks because it's your vision and they can't see it. God didn't give it to them. Somebody needs to receive that. We sometimes miss because we have different knowledge, our level of knowledge and understanding, our insight, our views and opinion. You don't know somebody sang a song. You wasn't there. You don't know when and you don't know where. Some of us think we know because somebody told us and they told you the wrong story and you running off something that you thought you heard. Roy Trammell. Just leave the stuff alone. Pay the regular price. We're running off on stuff that we heard. We're taking it as fact. And we believe, if it's on the internet, it must be true. It's a foregone conclusion that an assumed fact that what you see is what you get. That your perception is your reality. The temptation explained it this way. They said, y'all heard that song, Who's Loving You? They said that. I'll lose just some of the lyrics because I know some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But I wrote it down because I got it off the internet. So it must be true. When I had you here, I treated you bad and wrong, my dear. Uh-huh. And oh, since you went away, yeah. Don't you know I sit around with my head hanging down? Yeah. I wonder who. Somebody. He said, I wonder who. Loving you. Now, why is that? Because in his mind, all of a sudden, he was starting to wonder. He didn't know if anybody was loving her or not, but the idea in his mind was driving him crazy. Anybody been? No, scratch that one. What you see, what you perceive can determine your spiritual growth, development, or get stunt, quite frankly, stunt your spiritual growth or determine your outcome. Some folks do not enter the gates of thanksgiving or the courts of praise. Some enter with attitude and not gratitude, with raise to raise and not to praise. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. What was your last conversation about? That's a rhetorical question.
Yes, sir.
Let me see if I can get it and put it the way Jesus framed it. He said it this way in Matthew, the 6th chapter. He said the light of the body, 6th chapter 22, 22nd verse. He said the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But if thy eye is evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or either he will hold to one and despise. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, what you see is important.
Yeah.
What you see, sometimes we see things we really don't know what really happened. Mm. You know, just because you see me slap Rev upside the head, that doesn't mean it's what you thought you saw. Rev know I was just killing a mosquito. And y'all got out there telling me, hey, Rev was fighting. They were fighting in church. When we look around, we should see God moving. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 19:1b. He said, the heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Paul said in Acts, the first 17 chapters, 28 verse, he said, for in him we live, we move, and we have our being. We ought to be able to see God's activity in everything that's taking place. I mean, if you think about it, no matter how bad it is with you, you ought to be able to see God's moving in your life. If you're alive today, no matter how you're struggling, you ought to know, wait a minute, I'm breathing. He said, let everything that has breath. If you're breathing, you have another chance. If you're longest on, you're on this side of the dirt, somebody say it can't hurt. You've got to celebrate and know that God is active in your life if you're still on this side. However, there are some of us that are challenged. And I know, quite frankly, we are challenged. Sometimes we're conflicted. Sometimes we're confused because of our sinful nature. This is what Paul said, creates a bit of a conflict in Galatians 5 and 16. He said, between us, between the flesh and the spirit. Yeah. He said, in fact, he said in one passage of John, the 17th chapter, he said, we're dual citizens. But Jesus said this way, he said, we're in the world, but that's we're right. Not of the world.
That's right.
You ever been in a place, but not of that place?
Yes, sir.
Somebody was in a place and not of that place last night.
That's right.
I ain't looking at y'all. Some of us go to places, we're in it. But we're not of it.
That's right.
And God, thank God there are a lot of places we go we should be in and not of. But Paul said it's bigger than that. We're in this world.
Uh-huh.
And we're not of this world.
Yeah.
The angels keep begging at me from heaven open door.
Yeah.
I can't feel at home.
Using God. Using.
Yeah. Christian saints, holy rollers, we're constantly wrestling with good and evil, right and wrong. Paul described it this way in Romans, the 7th chapter. He said, "For in the 18th verse, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
That's right.
For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not do, would I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." He said, I'm conflicted. Mm-hmm. Every time I try to do right, evil. So anybody said, you know, had a good church, say Sunday, and then you said, this is going to be a different week for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to work Monday. And it's much like last week. You start off good, church. If we're going to be, if we're going to win, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to go from earth unto glory, we've got to create an alliance with a greater being, with God himself. We got to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. We got to understand that we've got to make a connection with someone higher than us. And to do this, we've got to look up. We've got to see things and see not what's going on around us, but what connect ourselves with what God desires of us, and that's taking place in the heavenly of heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we do that? Well, what's important? Well, why is it important that we look up? It's important that we look up because when we look up, it changes our expectation and our elevation.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm going to talk about, just our expectation. It is, first of all, expected that as saints we are to look up.
Yeah.
And secondly, when we do look up, we become elevated. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yes,
first of all, we're expected as saints to look up. Mama used to tell us, she said, look here, look up when you walk. Y'all, anybody? Mm-hmm. Anybody? Mama was hard like that. She said, when you look somebody, you shake somebody's hand, look them in the eyes when you talk to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, I see kids now, somebody talk to them and they just like this, you talk to them, and I'd be pushing the head up. Look up when you talk to somebody walking around like this. What is that, Donna? You had those shoes on all day. You ain't figured it out toes yet? What is going on with the floor? I mean, let's look up. If you look up, it changes your perspective.
Amen.
Anybody know anything about basketball? Point guard, he's coming down the floor. If he's not looking down the floor to see what action taking place, he's going to make the wrong call.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking down, you're just in it for yourself. You're going to mess up if you're just looking down. You've got to find yourself focused upward. Look up.
Yes.
If, the scripture said here, if, he said, if we then, ye then be risen with Christ,
mm-hmm.
seek those things that are above. If sounds like he's giving us an option. But this denotes a reality. It should be better translated since. Therefore, he said, the believers who have been risen with Christ, since you have been risen with Christ. Let me bear myself. Paul said it, explained it this way in Galatians 2nd chapter. He said, I am crucified with Christ.
Right.
Nevertheless, I live.
Yeah, that's right.
See, I've been crucified with him, but I live.
Right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying here? He said, now, he's been killed with Christ.
That's right.
But he's living. But he didn't stop right there. He said, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. See, when we've been changed, all of a sudden the transition says we die to ourselves and then we rise to Christ. We live, but yet not ourselves, but we are Christ. That's why we call ourselves Christians. We need to understand that when we're calling ourselves Christian, it's a suggestion or an intimation that we have ourselves died and we are now subject to Christ. Some of us just wear it because it's nice. Some of us just like to wear titles. You know, it sounds good. I am a Christian. Christian meaning I'm Christ-like. What was Christ like? And how do you know? I mean, I know the picture that you saw, and you know your hair is not like that. And based on the picture, you know your skin is not like that.
That's right.
You know your nose is not like that. Well, what was it about Christ that you're like if you're going to be a Christian? Well, how do we find out? He says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal light, and they are they which testify of me.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get in the Word and find out how many don't answer this question. This is, again, a rhetorical question. How much time did you spend in the Word this week?
Come on, sir.
Comparable to how much TV time. How was that? How did that turn out? We're crucified with it.
Yeah.
We're going to be like him.
That's right.
Then we need to understand some things need to change. Our mind needs. Paul reminds us that if we're going to be saved, we've died ourselves. Our old life is now dead. That we are now no more the same. That we have been changed. If we've been changed, our thinking should change. He said in Philippians 4, he said, "By finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, if whatsoever things are just, whatever pure, whatsoever is lovely, of good report and virtue and praise," he said, "think on these things." You know, if we get our mind right, we can get our lives right.
Amen.
We too often thinking inside of the dirt, and that does hurt. We need to get our minds to a different place. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. If you've been saved, old things are gone. He said, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get your mind right. My grandmama used to say, and I told you, grandma, I thought she was a genius. She said, so a man thinks, so is he. She was quoting Proverbs 23 and 7, but I wasn't reading, so I didn't know. But now I know. It's in the Word.
That's right.
It must be true, right? Now that is true for a fact. There's so you can be. The poet said, "He said, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you're there not, you don't. If you like to win but think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you're lost, you're lost. But out in this world, we find success begins with a fellow will. It's all in a state of man mind. Life battles don't always go to the stronger, faster man, but sooner or late, the one who wins, the one who thinks he can. You've got to get your mind right and focus on the right thing and know that God can make you a winner, because if you're on his side, you're on the winning team.
Amen.
Since we have been saved, since we have been changed, since we've been made new, transformed, we are expected to seek things above, to focus on things of God, to look up and not to look down, to see that God is in control. Jesus put it this way. He said, but seek ye first in Matthew 6 and 33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We worried about what we're going to get this from or get that from, or if that's going to make up, this going to work, if that's going to work. But what we need to do is put God first, seek God first, and then God will add all this stuff.
Yeah.
You worried about things that are temporal and temporary, but God is saying, I want to take you to a higher place. Psalmist said in Psalm 121 and 2, he said, if I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? I've got to get my perspective in a different place. In it now as a Christian, again, it is not an option. It is expected.
Come on, sir.
As Christian, do y'all hear what I say? It's not an option. It is expected. This is something we are expected as Christian to do, to elevate our looks, our sight, our mind, to look to God.
Yeah.
Not to self, not to others, but to God. Last thing, elevation. is the second reason why we must look up. And it says in the second part of this verse, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated at the right hand of God. Paul doesn't mean that we should never think about things that are down here, but rather he's saying you should put your aim and your focus should be on things above. You got to think about whether you're going to pay the bills or whether you're going to meet the light bill or you're going to meet the man. But he said, don't make that your primary focus. We've got to always understand that as Christians, we have a different focus. We got to focus on things that are not these temporary things, these things that are this worth what's going on down in the next week down the street, in the inauguration, thank you. Yes, that's the term I'm looking for. Now, don't get caught up in stuff that's worldly and unnecessary stuff. Don't get caught up in stuff that you can't control. That's what tickles me sometimes. We always want to focus on things that we can't control. Right. How about dealing with some stuff that you can't control? You know that little bad kid in your house. Start there. If you start with the man in the mirror, let's start right there. Let's start right there. Let's not even start with the person. Now, let's start with the man. And if I just start to work on me, if I change, you change. Then we won't have to try to change it. But too often, what we try to do, we try to change somebody else. You come with that mote in your eye trying to fix this beam in my eye. Jesus said, don't do it. That we focused on things above and we get a sense of security because no matter what's going on down here, we've got a better home to go to.
Amen.
If you understand that this earth is just temporary, we're just pilgrim and sojourner, transcending here. I reckon, Paul said in 8th chapter and 18th verse, he said, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that we shall be revealed in us. We got to understand we're just passing through down here. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that we have, if our earthly house of the tabernacle were devolved, we have another building, a house not made with him. It's good to know we've got somewhere else we've got to go. We didn't come down here to stay a permanent. This is not our permanent home. We're just visiting down here. If I'm just, you all are welcome to stay as much as you like, but they're just visiting. And they know that as bad as it might get up here, as tired as they might get here, at some point they may be going home. And when they're going back home, there's something to say about when I'm going home. Anybody feel a connection to a place that's not down here? You ever get tired of being down here? You ever start to wonder, Lord, I know you told me there was a heaven and there was a hell. I have no plans to go into hell, but I'm looking forward to go to that place where it's always howdy, howdy, and no more goodbye. Anybody like to be in a company where it's just good company to be in? You ever been with people that you like hanging out with and the talk and the time just fly? It's going to be so good to be in heaven where we are hanging around the throne of grace with the Lord and all of the saints. And we can tell our stories about how I got over. And we can share how we got over. We got to understand. We got to look up. We got to elevate our mind and understand what matters because this stuff down here is just temporary. When we look up, we elevate yourselves from the cares of this world because we know, as Paul said in Romans 8, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. When we look up, we elevate our game from this pressure down here to understand that, wait a minute, there's something that when we go through something, there's a reason why we go through it. Suffering breeds character. Character breeds faith, and faith would not disappoint. We know that when you're going through something, if there's no mess, there's no message. If there's no grit, there's no glory. If there's no cross, there's no crown. If there's no test, there's no triumph. If there's no war, there's no victory. If there's no down, there's no up. If there's no tribulation, there's no patience. If there's no patience, there's no experience. If there's no experience, there's no hope. If there's no hope, there's no life. If there's no life, there's no love. If there's no love, there's no Christ. If there's no Christ, there's no truth. If there's no truth, there's no way. But I come to tell you, you go through in order to get to. And if you look up, you understand that you don't get caught up being down. If we look up, you elevate your tolerance of your trials and tribulations, and it makes you stronger because, you know, as Isaiah said in the 54th chapter, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that is against me in the judgment, it shall be condemned. We got to understand that the Lord has placed us, and he is in control, even though it looks like we are out of control. Sometimes we've got to be shaken up just so we can bow down. Sometimes we got to be pushed just so we can pray. Sometimes we got to be shocked just so we can shout. Sometimes we got to be shoved just so we can sing. Sometimes we got to be punished so we can pray. Sometimes we got to be knocked down just so we can look up. Sometimes you got to experience the earthquake, the wind, and the fire just to hear God's still, small voice. See, looking up is the way we all as saints ought to be because looking up elevates your knowledge of who you are and what you know. See, sometimes you got to understand what you don't know. See, I don't know a lot of things. See, I've come to know, I don't know how a black cow, I told you this, can eat green glass and make white milk, but I know that a cow on 1,000 hills. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. See, when you're looking up, you start to understand what you don't know, but you also know who you do know. I know a man. I say, I know a man. from Calvary. When you look up, it elevates your understanding of who you are and whose you are. Because he said, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, he said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. He said, our sufficiency is of God. What does that mean? I am what God says I am. I'm not what you say I am, but I am what God says I am. He says, I'm a child of the King. He said, I am heir and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. He has said, I am my Father's child. My Father says, wait a minute, who is the Father that I serve? My Father can take nothing and make something. He can take nobody and make somebody. He can take little and make much. He can take ordinary and make it extraordinary. He can take bad and make it super bad. He can take two fish and fivefold bread and feed 5,000. That's the kind of God. How can you do this? Well, I looked and saw that Jesus himself, that he knew about looking up. You have to understand that we have an example of looking up. When we look up, we elevate our understanding of who Christ is, because Jesus himself looked up. He was down on earth, but you know what he said? He said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it's day. He said, I'm down here, but I'm looking up there. You got to understand, you don't get yourself so caught up down in things that are happening down here. Always look up to Jesus from whence cometh your help. He said, I'm down here, but I'm working the work of him that said, he kneeled down in the garden. I heard him praying in the garden. He said, Father, remove this cup from me. Sometimes when you kneel down, you got to make sure you pray up. Some of us got to understand what it means. We got to understand when you kneel down, you need to pray up, because some of us praying down. We're trying to pull people down. Lord, knock them out. Lord, take them out. We ought to look up to Jesus and pray up and let, Lord, you are in control. We can't do this by ourselves. We put it in your hand, God. He said, Lord, he said, Isaiah, he said, well, he said, Ezekiel, he said, wait, can these bones live? Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, wait a minute. Ezekiel looked at the bones and said, wait a minute, these are bones. They're dry bones. Not just dry bones, they're really dry bones. He said, well, I'm not gonna pray down, Lord, because if I answer the question, they're bones. I'm going to tell you what they are. They're dry, dead bones. And last I checked, anybody had any neck bones lately? They're dry, dead bones. They don't even have any skin or any muscle on them. They're dry, dead bones. Dry, dead bones don't live. But I'm going to say, Lord, thou know it. Every now and then you find yourself in a situation, you just got to say, Lord, I don't know how to handle it, but Lord, thou know it. I'm just going to look up to you and put it in your hand. You ask me the question, but I'll put it in your hand. Church, we got to learn to turn it over to Jesus. Stop trying to control it ourselves. He said, Father, remove this cup from me, but not at my will, but thy will be done. Down under in the spirit. He was down in the spirit at one point, hanging on the cross. He could have given up. He could have looked down, but instead he looked up. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If that wasn't enough, he said, my God, still looking up. Why hast thou forsaken me? Seemed like he was at his worst state of affairs, but still he said, my God, why? But then I heard him say a little bit later on, it's finished. But it didn't stop right there. He said, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. Church, you know, no matter what your situation, you got to be able to put it in God's hand and say, God, over to you. I'm going to look up to the hills from whence coming. He said, well, now, that wasn't the end of the story, because he found himself in the grave, down in the grave. I see he looked up from the grave. You know what he said? He said, well, I got all power. All power. Yes, no matter how deep it gets, you can stay connected with the Lord. Don't take my word for it. Talk to Joe. He'll tell you, I was down in the belly of hell. Down, y'all remember that big fish that swallowed him up? He said, I was in the belly of hell, but I cried out to God, and God heard me, and the fish spit him out. You got to understand that when you're in a situation that you can't control, if you just talk to God about it, God will make your enemy, you distasteful to your enemies, and they'll just have to spit you out. Ain't nothing wrong with being spit out sometimes. Yeah. Church, we got to learn how to look up. Yeah. Stop looking down. Yeah. Stop looking around. Stop trying to figure out what the Joneses have and what the Jacksons are doing. Be concerned about what God has in store for you. God has something special for you. Everybody here, God has something special for you. Yes, this is your year. No, not next year. This is your year. But you got to understand, it's up to you to decide to look up, not to look down. Not to look over, not to look around, but look up to Jesus. He said, if we are risen with Christ, we got to set our affection on things of the book. Why is that so important? Because we're going to a place where we can put up, we can hang our swords in the sand of time and study war no more. We can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You fought a good fight. It wasn't a great fight, but it was a good fight. You kept the faith, but here's the key. You finished your course. Look up. Look up. Look up. Tell your neighbor, look up. Look up, neighbor. Look up. Tell yourself, look up. Don't look down. Look up. The doors of the church open. If you're here today, I extend this invitation to you. If you don't know him and a part of your sin, this invitation comes to you to get to know him for yourself. You cannot be who you are, truly who you are, until you get to know Christ for yourself. How do I know this? Well, you remember the prodigal son? He said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many houses of my father have bread enough to spare? Well, how easy is it? Well, it's very easy. You don't have to jump in the pews, run down the aisles. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here, all you have to do is just confess and believe. The Bible says, and you shall be saved. You can find out who you really are and what your purpose is on this earth. If you're here, if you don't know him, this is your time to get to know him. Let me extend the invitation also to those who may already know the Lord as a Savior, but they're looking for somewhere to yield their gifts, to go to work and do what God has called you to do. Here, the scripture says the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. We have much work here to be done, and we invite you to come. If you know him already, you're looking for a church home, we extend an invitation to you. If you're here today, we extend an invitation to you. It doesn't matter if you come out of town for a mile. You have to travel 14 hours every Sunday to get here. We're all right with that. The invitation is extended to you. If you know him, and this is a place where you can use the gift God has given you, we invite you to come. He said he adds to the church daily as he sees fit. God has a plan and a purpose for you. If you're here, get to know what that plan is. We invite you. Look up. Don't look around. Don't be concerned about what he said, she said, or what someone else may think. This is not about them. This is all about you and Jesus. If you're here. The Father of Christ. God bless you. God bless you.